Thank you. And I want to acknowledge my co-authors, which is quite a group here, and I see one of them in the audience, so I want to thank their efforts in participating in this study and contributing to some of the results that we obtained. I'm going to start talking about why we were looking at gypsum in the first place, just a few slides. Ohio is a state that burns a lot of coal for electricity, and to pass the clean air and meet the clean air requirements, the sulfur has to be removed, sulfur dioxide has to be removed with scrubbers, and we end up with a lot of gypsum, very high quality gypsum. And so as we move in our soils and we remove the sulfur from the atmosphere, we're not getting free sulfur into our soils anymore with our rainfall. And so we need to probably add some of that sulfur back in the form of fertilizers, and gypsum, of course, is a very good source of sulfur. And so these are some of the reasons that we began to look at gypsum as an amendment for soils. This shows what I was talking about. In 1970s, we were getting about 35 kilograms per hectare of sulfur in our precipitation, and as the sulfur was removed and scrubbed out, that's continuing to go down, and even in 2006, some more recent data, it's gone down a little more. So if you remove sulfur continuously by growing a crop and you don't replace it, eventually you're going to have deficits. And so gypsum is a good source of sulfur for these crops. What is gypsum? It's a very soft mineral composed of calcium dihydrate. Calcium sulfate with two waters. It's derived from the Greek word meaning chalk or plaster, so plaster Paris is a type of a gypsum material. It's relatively water-soluble. I wouldn't say water-soluble in the sense like a calcium nitrate, but it's relatively water-soluble, about 200 times more soluble than calcium carbonate. So the calcium will move much more than if you use a lime material, calcium carbonate. And the source of the gypsum, you can have both mined gypsum and the synthetic gypsum, which comes from these scrubbers from the power plants. So we have the mined gypsum, the FGD gypsum, that's the gypsum when you burn coal to make electricity. And the gases are bubbled through a calcium or a lime tank, calcium carbonate, calcium oxide tank. It's removes the sulfur primarily as calcium sulfite, and they bubble additional air to oxidize it all the way to calcium sulfate, which is then recovered and can be used. So that's what I'm talking about when I say FGD gypsum. Some of the benefits in agriculture, it's a good source of calcium and sulfur for plant nutrition. It can be used to alleviate some subsoil acidities that we have in some of our eastern states. And the calcium flocculates clays to improve soil structure and reclaim sodic and high magnesium soils. Now, all those things is what we were looking for, but one of the issues that came up is, well, what about the mercury and some of the heavy metals that might be contained in these materials? So to investigate that, we had two objectives: to measure the mercury concentrations in soil, plant and soil water samples when either mined gypsum or FGD gypsum is used as an agricultural amendment. And actually, we have earthworm samples also, to make a preliminary determination of whether any of these observed changes in mercury concentrations are of ecological significance. So in this particular talk, we're only focusing on mercury. These are the study sites, location of the study sites. There's seven that we were looking at in this particular study, all the way from North Dakota, the southwest corner to southern Alabama, Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, and New Mexico. So a broad range of sites across the U.S. These are the characteristics of the gypsum, the different sites of the soils, I should say, where the gypsum was applied. They're not too much different, actually. Most of them are silt loams, maybe some little coarser soil textures. Organic carbon is not a whole lot difference between the different sites. And we sampled soils from these different plots. We applied gypsum at the We had different rates depending on the site. We only looked at the control, the zero rate site, and the highest gypsum application rate, which was up to 20 tons per acre or 8.9 megagrams per hectare. We collected the soil water at 60 centimeters depth using a ceramic lysimeter. We dug out soil and actually sorted out the earthworms by hand before we did the analysis, and also took plant samples. This is the mercury concentrations in the gypsums. This is micrograms per kilogram, so that's parts per billion. And you can see the different ranges, the gypsum versus the FGD gypsum versus the mine gypsum. One thing you'll notice right away is that the gypsums from the coal power plants are always quite a bit higher than if you have gypsum from a mine site. Whether that makes that of any significance as far as an impact on the environment is what we were really wanting to look at in this particular study. But you can see quite a difference there. The one gypsum sample that was used in Wisconsin was by far the highest, 1,332 parts per billion. Now what we did, we had a lot of data, so trying to figure out how to boil it down to try to make some significant some statements about what was happening. So what we did is we subtracted the background level of the soil, the mercury in the soil, and then we looked at our highest rated rate of treatment at these different sites, and we looked whether the mercury levels had increased or decreased above that background level. And this is not really a true soil, a true total mercury analysis. It's an acid digestion, but it's not trying to get at 100% every single mercury atom in the sample. So it's a very harsh extraction treatment, but it's really not a total treatment. And so a zero means that there was the effective treatment there was no effect. Anything above that shows a positive effect of the treatment on mercury concentrations in the soil, and anything below that, of course, actually the treatment reduced the level of mercury that we could recover through this acid digestion procedure. And you can see most of them grouped around that zero level. There were the North Dakota site, the Wayne site, where we had the blue symbol, had a little bit higher concentration, and also the red symbol. So both of those sites after treatment were a little bit higher than above the background. This shows mercury in soil water, and the previous speaker said that mercury in soil water, mercury is quite stable. It doesn't move into the soil water very readily. So this is actually parts per trillion. And you can see the effect of the different treatments and the concentration levels. There's really no consistent trend. Some cases the control actually was about the same as where we treated. The Alabama South site, we did see the FGD treatment showed a little bit higher mercury in the water at 60 centimeter depth than the other treatments. I don't have statistics on that at this point. I don't think any of them would be significant except possibly the Alabama site. This shows plant mercury uptake. And again, the same sort of thing. Zero shows there was no effect, no accumulation of mercury in the plant. And there's really only two samples where we showed any sort of accumulation at all. One was that in the corn sample in Indiana where we had the mine gypsum. And this was a low rate of gypsum, so whether that's just an outlier and we probably need to go back and resample that and reanalyze that, but that showed a pretty good spike there. And then one of the Ohio sites, a mixed pasture where we had the gypsum showed a little bit higher accumulation of mercury. But most of the samples showed no accumulation across the different treatments. Mercury and earthworms. One of the things that we did find is earthworms do bioaccumulate mercury. And it didn't really matter whether it was in a sample where we treated the soil with the gypsum, the mine gypsum, or the FGD gypsum, or untreated. In all the cases, the earthworms tended to bioaccumulate mercury. But the thing that's important to note here is that really wasn't much of a treatment effect across the three different types of treatment, the FGD treatment, the mine treatment, or the control. They all pretty much bioaccumulated the same. Different soils, earthworms in different soils bioaccumulate a little bit differently, but really no significant differences among treatments. So observations or conclusions, background levels of mercury's range from 26.1 micrograms per kilogram, that's parts per billion at the New Mexico site, to 61.4 at the Ohio site. So that just gives you some idea of the background levels. Mercury in the FGD gypsum was always higher than in the mine gypsum. Gypsum application rates tested range from those normally recommended up to 2 to 3 times higher than normal recommendations for agricultural soils. I put this in there as an observation because we were looking at pretty much normal recommended gypsum application rates that we would use in agriculture. We did go a little bit higher than that, but we weren't really adding very, very high rates of gypsum to these soils. Bioaccumulation of mercury and earthworms above soil levels was observed. However, there was no consistent relationship between bioaccumulation and rates or types of gypsum applied or concentration of mercury in the gypsum. Plant uptake of mercury was not affected by treatment except for corn in Indiana that showed elevated concentrations when mine gypsum was applied at this 2.24 megagram per hectare rate, and in a mixed hay sample from Ohio where the FGD gypsum was applied at a 20 megagram per hectare rate. And overall, there is not a consistent trend in changes of soil, plant, water, and earthworm concentrations of mercury as affected by type and rate of gypsum used as a soil amendment. So I think that last point there is really the overall conclusion that we could make, is that really the treatment effects of the gypsum, whether it was mined, FGD, and the rate, didn't really have a consistent effect on any of these variables that we were measuring. Thank you. It was a 3051A EPA method, acid digestion method. It's a nitric HCl, I think, mix. It's 3051A is the procedure. For everything, basically everything that we would digest with that. Should have mentioned that. They were field collected. They were brought to the lab. What we mentioned here is we did do deperation, which is putting them on a wet filter paper and allowed the earthworms to void their gut content. So you're only looking at the biomass and not the soil in the gut plus the biomass. These were the whole earthworm that I'm showing here. And the reason why sometimes we didn't have enough earthworms to do the deperation versus perated type of comparison. The other thing is we were told that when you do bioaccumulation up at the food chain, when birds eat an earthworm, they eat the whole worm. It includes the soil and the gut and everything. So what we show here is the entire worm, gut, and everything. Pardon? Oh. Yeah, the corn was the grain. Some of the hay was the leaf material, but in the Indiana sample was the grain sample, corn grain sample.